This is a conversation with Gerald Kearse, co-founder and CEO of Trustable, a company helping organizations put responsible AI into practice. Gerald shared how Trustable unifies performance, privacy, ethics, and security into a governance platform that builds trust and boosts adoption. I loved how he emphasized transparency, proactive risk mitigation, and the perseverance needed to build in a fast-moving regulatory landscape. Great. So very nice to meet you, Gerald. Thank you very much for joining Humans on AI podcast. So let's start. I found it very interesting, your background, because you studied entrepreneurship, but as well, you started related with policy and this kind of thing. So basically, it's what you are doing right now with Trustable as a founder, a co-founder and CEO. Gerald, I would like to understand, what was the personal moment or insight that you decided to build a company around AI governance?
Yeah, I've spent most of my career really at the intersection of AI and policy. I worked for almost a decade at a company here in DC called FiscalNote, which was essentially an early AI innovator using primarily machine learning and natural language processing on top of unstructured regulatory data and helping enterprises and government agencies understand the regulatory environment. My co-founder, Andrew, and I met while working at FiscalNote, had a great relationship, were great friends and colleagues. And I remember we used to spend late nights talking about what is the future of a regulated AI look like, where social anxiety around the technology's impact on labor or safety, what would that mean for the regulatory environment for AI itself? As well as we were constantly talking about how this idea of responsible AI, of ethical AI, which was maybe the nomenclature a few years back, oftentimes talked too much about technical guardrails and not enough about the almost like social technical implications of it, the legal implications of the humanities approach to responsible AI. And we felt that there was a miscommunication inside of enterprises between your data scientists and technical people and your legal and risk people. Add to this the impact of the EU AI Act, the regulation in Europe that regulated AI systems for the first time. And we felt that this was a clear market opportunity to basically help organizations understand what does it mean to operationalize responsible AI at scale and be able to comply with some of the emerging regulations and standards. So I've been able to blend a little bit of the experience with the policy side and the AI side itself.
Great. I love the name Trustable because kind of like it's completely, hey, you can trust us. I found a very good name. So talking about, because you mentioned a little bit about the regulations and the human side. So how do you in Trustable balance that part of the AI and human side in, yeah?
Yeah, for the way that I view it, AI governance has five dimensions: the performance of the system, cybersecurity, privacy, ethics, and legal. And those five things are really important in helping you understand whether this system or the model is performing as intended. Oftentimes, because organizations are designed in these subject matter groups that are, I'm a technology team and I'm a cybersecurity team, et cetera, they view it within their landscape. And what we're almost trying to do as an organization is basically say, all of it matters and it requires multiple types of functions inside of an organization, different expertise to come to the table to understand the unintended consequences that an AI system might have on a demographic population, or how to think about the regulatory environment when deploying a new system that's going to be collecting personal health information that might be protected under HIPAA, as an example. And so what we try to do as an organization is really get an understanding of the outside world, right? And by the outside world, we mean, what are the regulatory obligations? Sure. But what's the research? What are the best practices that are coming from all the major labs, from the academic institutions? How are these models changing and evolving where their guardrails might be, where different guardrails might be implemented that have different mitigation opportunities for orgs? And then the internal environment, right? What types of use cases are being deployed? What type of models? Who is involved in this process and in this system? And so we feel that through a platform that can help automate the parts of AI governance that should be automated, right? Simple information collection, automating classification of risks, task assignment, these types of things, this can dramatically accelerate how organizations use AI in a responsible way. And then we then embed our human expertise directly on the platform to help support that. So think of it as almost like a TurboTax for your AI governance strategy, where we have experts across AI, ML, and policy, and we embed that expertise directly in the platform to help you understand what types of risks, what types of opportunities, what types of obligations might you have on this AI system across its lifecycle.
Okay. Yesterday, or maybe, yesterday, you've been in an event, so I check it on your social media, and you talk about different topics, all the leaders and you, but I'm kind of interested in maybe in AI governance as an enable. So what did you mean with that?
Yeah, so often things like cybersecurity and privacy have been perceived to be risk mitigation check the box exercises for organizations. They have typically been the know people. They have typically been protecting the organization against very real risks. And that is absolutely very true and very real and relevant for AI governance as well, where there are risks and harms to both the organization itself as well as the users that need to be protected, and these teams need to play a leading role in that protection. But part of what we're seeing on AI governance is that AI governance is also about the enablement of responsible AI technologies. And what we mean by that is that AI technologies that have the right guardrails in place, that have gone through the right evaluation, that understand the impact of their systems to different stakeholder groups, and that are transparent about what they are doing, are more trusted products. And so the more you trust an AI system, the more likely you are to use it. And so the role that AI governance plays in trust is really in the evaluation of how do we identify proactively risks and harms before they happened, so we can mitigate them so that we can deploy the technology. And so what we see is that right now, legal teams, cybersecurity teams are inundated with requests to review new technology or AI applications or vendors inside of organizations, and they don't have the skills to evaluate. They simply don't know. And because purpose-built solutions for AI governance have not traditionally existed before Trustable and some others, there wasn't a purpose-built platform that understood the nuance behind how AI systems interact in organizations. And so part of what we're seeing is that when you can help the legal and the risk teams get more comfortable on what these systems are, how they operate, what types of risks do they have, they're actually much more likely to approve it. And so to give you some specific customer outcomes, we work with a large Fortune 500 company in the East Coast that has quadrupled the number of use cases of AI that they've adopted since using Trustable in the past 6 months. We work with a Fortune 250 insurance company based in New York that has cut the amount of legal review time of each of these use cases from 3 weeks to 3 hours. And so when you actually unblock the concerns that legal and risk teams have, give them the confidence, the insight, the visibility, and help orchestrate it all through an automated platform, then you have more AI inside of the organization. And by the way, more AI that is trusted and that has been mitigated for a lot of different reasons. So that's why we see AI governance play such a critical role in the enablement piece of this.
Okay, talking a little bit about the name of your company, Trustable, which helps companies build trust in their AI. But before going more in depth in that area, I would like to know, what does mean trust for you?
Yeah, a very quick plug in on the name. So we are actually incorporated as a public benefit corporation. So we have dual profit motive of both make money and advance the field of responsible AI. The name Trustable is actually a portmanteau, so a combination of two words, trustworthy and responsible, so trustable. And so it's a combination of those two words because we really feel that in order for AI to be adopted at scale, it needs to be trustable, if you will. What does trust mean? In the very simplest of ways, we oftentimes refer to as it, say it, do it, prove it. We say that we are responsible and that we are transparent and explainable, but we're actually doing it inside of our models, inside of our organizations, that we're implementing these types of things, and that we can prove it and demonstrate that we are doing that. That's really the essence of trust, right? It's communicating an expectation, actually following through with that expectation, and then being able to demonstrate evidence of that work that has been done. And so that's really where we see that proactive approach for AI governance be so central to the idea of trust.
Okay, and how do you apply this trust in your in the culture of your team, on basically your team as well?
Look, we ourselves are high growth AI startup. And because we are a public benefit corporation, I feel like we generally tend to attract people that are themselves motivated by working in an environment that values trust, that values responsibility, that values responsible growth and all of those attributes. So I think from my standpoint, trust is both big and small, right? Trust is big in the sense of it means that I am transparent with the organization on the things that I hear from our customers, from our investors, and I'm transparent with respect to the challenges, that I'm listening to their perspectives, and that I'm following through on what those things represent for the organization. And it means that we hire people that represent the same types of values, right? That are trust and responsibility is really core to the way that they operate as almost like as human beings.
Okay. How should we think about intellectual property in the future when it comes to checking AI's output?
Yeah, interesting question. The honest answer is I don't know. I think there is a very real question amongst the legal community and the AI community around who owns liability for AI systems. Is it the model? Is it the user? Is it the deployer? The courts don't have an answer for this. The legislatures don't have an answer for it. The regulators don't have an answer for it. And it's because there's a lot of gray area, to be quite frank. If you use ChatGPT to summarize a news article or a medical record, it presents a very different risk. But it's the same system. It's the same model. It actually might even be the same prompt. You're asking the same question of the system. But the risk is dramatically different because one is simply summarizing a piece of news text. The other one might be ingesting personally identifiable health information. It might have protected data that needs to be handled differently. And so is, in this example, the LLM responsible if it goes wrong? Or is it the deployer of the systems? So the organization that is taking that model and deploying it and then causing potential harm, is it the users? So the honest answer is, I don't know. I think there's people that are much smarter than I am thinking through this, but I know that there's a lot of gray area somewhere in between. Where I land for the most part is at the use case layer. So it's the risk is not necessarily inherent in the model itself. It's really in how it's being used. I think that regulators are doing a great job, or rather, they are doing important work in requiring testing and evaluation and transparency towards model providers, so that organizations that are using those models clearly understand their limitations, and they are either more likely or less likely to use them based on those limitations. And so I really think that the use case and how that system might be used will ultimately dictate the liability going forward.
Okay, thanks for your honesty. So Gerald, which source do you trust in AI regulations and policies that you like to follow, because there's so many information about AI and about regulations about, because it's different in Europe than in US as well. So just any source that you follow that you really, let's say, trust?
Yeah, there's a lot of great AI coverage nowadays, to be quite frank. I think 2 years ago it was inundated with bad information. I think now there's maybe more bot type data, but look, I think there's some very important, let's call them LinkedIn influencers, people that are both practitioners and experts in this field that are doing excellent work. Those are individuals. There's too many to count there. There are academic institutions and think tanks that have a very thoughtful approach to how they cover the space for those folks that are maybe more wonky or detail oriented. Places like the Georgetown Center for Strategic and Emerging Technology, CSET, Stanford's Human AI Group, MIT has a group that has done some work on the MIT Risk Repository work. So there's a number of different folks that are doing, I think, great work. And then to be frank, a lot of the big model providers themselves are doing decent research on what this work ultimately looks like. And then I think not to plug Trustable, but I think we have pretty good insights ourselves. And between our blogs and our content on LinkedIn and webinars and whatnot, I think our team's producing some really excellent work.
So, Gerald, we've got one last question for you. What have you learned in your leadership in Trustable? You are like an entrepreneur, a founder and CEO, usually the founder journey is very lonely. So I would like to understand how what keeps you grounded and what keeps you pushing through in these tough moments of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. It is lonely work, but having a co-founder helps. A co-founder that you're aligned to, and Andrew and I are joined to the hip, and we're very aligned in how we see the business. And so I think that helps. Look, my perspective there is that there's no linear direct path to success, and success is defined in so many different ways that I think the main attribute that founders need to have is perseverance. I was describing to some of our other folks, we had a very bad day followed by a very good day. And it almost feels as a surfing analogy, like if you've ever surfed, you know that in order to get to the good waves at the back, you have to go through some pretty nasty waves, and you're getting hit before you reach and are able to surf the wave. And I think that's so true of startups as well, where you just have to recognize that, like, if you know where you're generally going, you have to be very stubborn on your values, but very flexible in how you approach success. And so from my standpoint, perseverance is probably the thing that comes to mind the most. And then making sure that you have folks around you that kind of, again, are mission oriented, understand what we're generally trying to do. So I think that's really the way that I viewed it. But I also have a family, and I feel like it would be difficult to do this without a family. I think the support of wife and kids, partners and parents and brothers and sisters and whatnot, I think it is helpful, because sometimes you have a bad day and you call them and they make everything better. So I'm very pro-family in terms of the entrepreneurial journey.
Nice. Thanks, Gerald. I appreciate your time. And thank you very much for this conversation and joining Himasane podcast again. Thank you.
Thank you, Flora.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.